The parsha begins with the din of Yefas Toar, special heter, even though a Jew is not permitted to live with a nochris, or some hold that it's a geris bal korcha. Normally, a geris bal korcha is not valid. Here, it's clearly a chiddush, a yotze min haklal, that we have a heter Yefas Toar. So the Gemara in the first parak, the end of the first parak in Kiddush, the Gemara discusses some of the details of the din of heter Yefas Toar. So one of the discussions the Gemara has is, what if the soldier is a kohen? So for kohanim, even if a kohen marries a geyoris, it's an iser. So certainly if the kohen is going to be living with a nochris or with a geyoris whose geyoris was bal korcha, it's going to be a double iser. So the Gemara has a suffix. Maybe the chiddush of Yefas Toar was only formulated when there's only one iser involved, when there's two iser involved. Maybe there's no heter Yefas Toar. So the Rambam has a passage which became very famous in recent years. The last halach in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, the Rambam writes that Shevet Levi doesn't get a chelek in Eretz Yisrael, and he says Shevet Levi doesn't serve in the army. You don't draft anybody from Shevet Levi, and then he adds on, and then not only those who are biologically descendants from Shevet Levi, if a person wants to volunteer to sit and learn in a kollel, he's an honorary member of Shevet Levi, and you also don't draft him into the army. That's why it became so popular in Eretz Yisrael. Everybody knows it's Rambam, the end of Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel. So where did the Rambam get this idea from, that you don't draft Shevet Levi? He got it from an opinion in the Tanoim, in the Sifrei, in the end of Chumash Bamidbar, in Parshas Matos, you read about Melchemes Midyan. So Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed he should take Elef Lamate, Shnei Maser Elef Chalutzei Tzavo. He should take 1,000 soldiers from each one of the Shvatim, and it should add up to 12,000. So the Tanoim were posing a question, Menashe Ephraim Atu Shvatim. So it should be 13,000. How come it's only 12,000? Either you say Shevet Levi was not drafted, that's the answer that the Rambam has adopted. Shevet Levi did not serve in the army. Menashe gave 1,000 soldiers, Ephraim gave 1,000. Shevet Levi was exempt from the army. And Rashi and Chumash has adopted the other sheet. Rashi and Chumash writes, each Shevet gave, the Rabbi Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi also gave 1,000 soldiers. So how come you don't have 13,000? So the answer obviously is that Menashe and Ephraim count as one, but again to the soldiers in the army. The two shvatim for other purposes, for covet, but not for purposes of drafting in the army. So it's a machlekes hatanoim and a question in the rishonim which opinion to adopt. So the Mordechai in Maseches Gittin has a comment. He points out this gemara in Kiddushin towards the end of the first perek in the Chops. It's not towards the end, the middle of the first perek in the Chops, when the gemara has a discussion about the Yefas Toar, the details of Yefas Toar. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that a Kohen who is a soldier in the army is also Mutar B'Yefas Toar. So the Mordechai comments, you see that you draft even Kohanim in the army. One might have thought that Kohanim cannot be drafted into the army because they're not allowed to be Mitami L'Mason. So in the army you're going to shoot to kill, you're going to be dead bodies all over the place. So nonetheless, you see that you do draft Kohanim in the army. This is an issue that was posed in recent years. During the First World War, a lot of Kohanim in England said they can't be drafted into the army because they're not allowed to be Matan Lameis. So the chief rabbi was Rabbi Nathan Adler, so he had to give a psak. So he paskened that you do draft them into the army based on this Mordechai. Mordechai has a gemara that if the Kohen is in the army, he's Mutar B'Yefas Toar, obviously they're drafted in the army. You have to be careful as much as possible not to be Matan Lameis. Reb Shlomo Vilner was a genius. His brother was a super genius. Reb Tzal Vilner was a super genius. They were both Dayanim in Vilna when the Vilna Shas was being printed, the end of the 1800s. So Reb Shlomo Vilner wrote several Svarim. He wrote a Sefer Binyan Shlomo. So he writes in the table of contents in the Sefer, he writes that he had a whole essay about Parsha Samolek, that's at the end of Kiseitzei. That the Sefer Achinuch writes that women are not mechuyev to hear Parsha Samolek because you don't draft women into the army. The Minchas Chinuch has an objection about that. They say Rav Nosson Adler, who's not the same person as Rabbi Nathan Adler, is not the chief rabbi of England. Rabbi Nathan Adler was also a learned person. He was a Yekish Talmud Chacham. Same, he learned there by Rabbi Yankov Etlinger at the same time as Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch. Rav Nosson Adler was a Goyin HaGoyim. He was the Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer. So Rav Nosson Adler also has this taina against the Sefer Chinuch, and he was the one who introduced the meeting in Germany that on Shabbos afternoon, 5 minutes before Mincha, on Shabbos Parsha Zocha, they take out a Sefer Torah and they read Parsha Zocha for the women who missed it in the morning, because the husbands went to shul and the women have to stay home to take care of their babies. He was choshish that maybe, like the Minchas Chinuch, maybe women are mechuyev in Parsha Zocha. Rav Moshe was very upset about that. He felt that women are potter from Parsha Zoch, and he said that it's considered a bizoyin of the Sefer Torah to take it out unnecessarily, to open up the Sefer Torah unnecessarily. He said that this is unnecessary. So one of the close Talmidim of Rav Moshe lived here in the neighborhood, and he printed this in English. And here they have the minig in Broyers that they follow that minig, that they take out the Sefer Torah 5 minutes before Mincha, Shabbos Parsha Zoch, to lane for the women. They didn't sell too many copies of the Sefer in this neighborhood. They were upset about that. How can he print against their minig? Anyway, so if Shlomo Levilner has a chiddush, he writes in the table of contents in the Sefer, he writes what the theme of every essay is. He writes the theme of the essay is that just like the Sefer Chinuch says that women are potter from Parsha Zocha because they're not drafted into the army, so Kohanim are also not drafted into the army, because they're not allowed to be metamei l'meisim. So Kohanim are potter from Parsha Zocher. So if a kohen is the balkari, mishenim mechuyev b'davar and moitzi achem b'dechay v'asam, so a kohen can't be the balkari when you're laying Parsha Zocher. It's not mechuyev b'davar. That's what he writes in the table of contents, that's what he has in the essay. Then he writes three lines. Then he writes the next line. My brother, Rabbi Tzal Vilna, told me to leave it out because it's not correct. So he doesn't explain what's not correct about it, whether Kohanim are drafted into the army, or even though you're not drafted into the army, you're still mechuyev in Parsha Zocher. Doesn't explain exactly what's wrong with it. Rav Chaim Kanievsky published several svarim. So when his mother passed away, so he reprinted his sefer on Tanakh. So he added on a second edition, a third edition, whatever it was. So he added on a few pages, divrei Torah that he heard from his mother in the name of her brother, the Chazon Ish. The Stipler married one of the sisters of the Chazon Ish, a very big family. They had around 12 children or something, half boys and half girls, and all married Rabbonim. So one of the things that he quotes from his mother, the name of the Chazon Ish, was that the women who usually don't go to shul on Shabbos because they have to take care of the children don't have to strain themselves on Parsha Zocher. They don't have to be choshish for the Menchas Chinuch with Rav Nosson Adler. That all the Rishonim who talk about the topic, I don't know which other Rishonim talk about it, I just know the Sefer, all the Rishonim talk about the topic hold that women are potter from Parsha Zocher. So if the women find it difficult to go to shul every Shabbos, they don't bother to go to shul, so they don't have to bother for Parsha Zocher either. The Gemara draws a distinction in the middle of the first perek in Kiddushin. The Gemara draws a distinction by the Kohen, B'Yifas Toyar, the soldier who's a Kohen. So the Gemara says that there's a Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel on Bi'a Shniya. Bi'a Rishayna, they all agree, is Mutan. The Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel about the Kohen Ma'al B'Yifas Toyar is about Bi'a Shniya. What's exactly the difference between Bi'a Rishayna, Bi'a Shniya? So Taisus there, and Taisus in the second perek in Sanhedrin, has a Machlekes Bali HaTaisus, two pshatim in the Gemara, and then they quote, it's two opinions in the Talmud Yerushalmi. So machlokes hamaroyim. So one opinion is that the bir rishon is muta ben achriyusa. The soldier is allowed to be with a bir rishon ben achriyusa, and for bir shniya he has to have a geiris. The other opinion in the rishonim, no, bir rishon is only muta after geiris, but if the geiris can be a geiris bal korcha. That's the chiddush of Yifas Toyar. Usually geiris bal korcha is no good. You have to have kabbalas on mitzvahs. And the Bi'a Shniya is only mutter after Geiris Midaita. So that's a big discussion. What exactly is the difference between Bi'a Rishayin and Bi'a Shniya? The one who has long discussions on this topic is Rabbi Nachum Zembe. Nachum Zembe was killed by the Nazis. And he wrote a lot. Most of what he wrote was destroyed in the war, was burnt when the Nazis, where he lived near Warsaw. So he published one of the svarim that was published is called Zer Avraham. He used to correspond with the son-in-law of the Arsameach, Rav Avraham Luftbeer. Rav Avraham Luftbeer was a businessman, but he was a strong learner. And he died leaving no children. The Yosemer's daughter also. They both died. They didn't have any children. And Rabbi Nachum Zema felt awful about that. So he published his correspondence with Rabbi Avram Luftberg called the Zer Avram. This should be Bimkoim, the children. So Rabbi Avram Luftberg is very strong at learning, but you can see Rabbi Nachum Zema is much stronger. He was a Goyin HaGoyim. So he has a long section. He has quite a few pages where he discusses a lot of details about Yefas Torah. He has a big discussion based on the Ramban, based on the Sifri. It says in the Pasuk, if you don't want to remain, v'shilachto l'nafsho, mocha l'mtzirena, bakosav tachas asher iniso. So what does it mean, v'shilachto l'nafsho? Does she need a get or does she not need a get? Is it Ishus Yisrael that he has with the Yefas Torah? Or is it only Ishus B'nei Noach? And the Rambam Paskins that by Ishus B'nei Noach, they don't need a get. They either the husband or the wife can initiate the divorce and just say goodbye and good luck and it's nice knowing you, and there's no need for a get. So he has a long arichas about this. What's the nature of the Ishus that you have with the Yefas Torah? Last year we learned Yevamah, so he spent a lot of time on the next section in the Parsha Kisei Aliyah Shtei Noshim. That was last year. The next section, the Chumash, is Ben Sora Mora. So many people are familiar with the Gemara in Sanhedrin. One Tana is of the opinion that the conditions that are needed to have a Ben Sora Mora are so far-fetched, it's impossible that it's ever going to happen. It never was and it never will be. The Gemara says you have to have the father and the mother should be the same height and the same weight and the same facial features and the same voice. How can it be the same voice? What, the father has a female voice or the mother has a male voice? The whole story is so far-fetched. So one Tana says, Ben Hatzarmar Lohoy V'Loyosid Lios. Another Tana says, it's not true. I was once in the cemetery and they showed me, here is the burial spot of a Ben Tzarmar. But the other Tana says, Irini Dachas never was and never will be. The conditions are so far-fetched, it's never going to happen. Irini Dachas was last week, said. And why is it so far-fetched? So the Gemara says, because if you have one mezuzah, you're not allowed to burn the mezuzah, and the din is it's either all or nothing. Irini Dachas, you have to burn down the whole city. So that's called Shlola, Latochir, Shlola below Shlal Shamayim. So if there's one mezuzah, how can it be a city in Eretz Yisrael where there's no mezuzah? The Tanoim said it can't be. I was told that today there are cities in Eretz Yisrael, there's absolutely no mezuzah whatsoever in any building. Anyway, but Tanoim couldn't visualize such a thing. It's impossible. So one Tana says, Irini Dachas never was and never will be. Another Tana says, not true. I was once touring in Eretz, so they told me this is the location where there used to be an Irini Dachas. And the third Tana says, there never was and there never will be a Bayis HaMenuga, Tzeras Batim. There's Tzeras on the body, and Tzeras Bigodim, and Tzeras Batim. Tzeras Batim is only Noig in Eretz Yisrael. So the conditions are so far-fetched. One Tana holds has to be in the corner, has to be so big. On both sides, it never was and never will be. So why in the world did the Torah write these mitzvahs? So the Gemara gives one answer on all three, and the other Tana says, not true, there was a Bayis HaMenuga. So it could be one or two or three possible mitzvahs that never were and never will be. So it doesn't make any sense. V'alama nichtavu. So the Gemara says, drosh v'kabel schar. What do you mean, drosh v'kabel schar? We get reward for learning Torah, even if it's not negeh l'alocha. Okay, even if the case never comes up, you get reward. But how much is it already? There's so many pages in the Talmud Bavli. What they say, Daf Yomi, how many pages are there? Forgot already. So how many pages are there on these things? So Irini Dachas is maximum three blot Gemaras. All of Shas. At the end of Sanhedrin, it's only around two blot. If you add together everything in all of Shas, it's maximum three blot. How much is there about Ben Sora Mora? Maybe four blot. About Ben Sarama. There's a Perik Ben Sarama, but the end of the Perik is only Harik Val Yav, a different deal. So the whole story of Ben Sarama is maximum four blot in the Gemara. How many pages are there about the Mishnayis? We don't have Gemara. We have Mishnayis about Bayis HaManuga, three, four prokim, very little also, two or three blot. Sachakal, the whole thing is 10 blot. So what would be if we would have 10 blot less in the Talmud Bavli to learn? We don't get enough schar for learning everything else. You need these three halachas. Very strange. What does it mean, drosh v'kabel schar? So the Balatanya has an explanation. Rav Soloveitchik has in several of his published essays. He writes that on this major point, Rav Chaim Valozhiner and Nefesh HaChaim and Balatanya both say the same thing. Why we have one of the Ikori HaEmunah is, Shezos HaTorah Lo Sehi Mukhlefes. The laws of the Torah never change. why such an obstinate insistence? That's the main, that's the crux of the dispute between the Orthodox and the non-Orthodox in our generation, whether the laws of the Torah are subject to change. So the Orthodox position is, Zosatar Losei Machlefes. Why Losei Machlefes? Why not? The world keeps on changing. So what's so difficult if you say the mitzvahs can change? What's so bad to say the mitzvahs can change? So they both explain, Rav Chaim Volozhin and the Baal HaTanya both explain that the laws of the Torah are mitzvahs. The mitzvah says, say, when it says you have to keep tefillin and tzitzis and Shabbos and kashrus, mitzvahs lo sesei, you have to observe what it says, not just a mashal. You have to observe the mitzvahs kipshutam. It's not just a parable. But in addition to being mitzvah sesei, mitzvah lo sesei, it's also a mashal. Everything in the Chumash is a description of Elokus. We have an expression that appears in the Kuzari by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi about the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence. He has a famous line, Eli Yedaitiv HaYisiv. If I would understand what the nature of Elokus is, I would have to be the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. The only one who understands Elokus is the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we cannot really understand Elokus. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted us to understand something about what he's like, so he gave a mashal of what Elokus is like. He couldn't really give, we wouldn't understand a mashal, so he gave a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of a mashal. Remember when I was a little boy, so I used to read comic books. I don't know, they're still in business. I used to have a little comic book, Superman and other things. So there used to be a comic book about atomic energy. So they used to have white balls and red balls and green balls and blue balls and rolling around this direction, that direction. I forgot already what it is. Neutrons and protons and electrons. I didn't remember anything already. So that was only a mashal for little children. When you grow older, you go to elementary school, whatever, high school, then they teach you deeper. Then you go to college, they teach you deeper. Then you go to graduate school, they teach you more. And then even in graduate school, every couple of months, they print something in the newspaper that in physics they discovered some new insight, and everything you learned in graduate school was just a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of what it really is. That's all only a mashal. You can't really understand unless you're on a very high level of studies in physics. So the Baruch Shalom also, he couldn't give us a mashal of Elokus, we wouldn't understand a mashal either, so he gave a mashal, that's right, Chaim Volozhin writes, he gave a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of a mashal. So that mashal is Kol HaTorah Kulo. Kol HaTorah Kulo, the Ramban writes in the Hagdamah to his commentary, Kol HaTorah Kulo, Shmoysav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He quotes a Zohar. What do you mean, Shmoysav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Pasha Pshat is that a shame is a description of what the thing is I'm going to give. If someone's not here in the room, and I'm going to talk to him on the telephone, I'm going to describe what's there. I say there are tables and chairs and ceiling and lights and students sitting in windows. I give a description. So when you say a shame, so you're describing what's going on. So the Kol HaTorah Kulo is a description of Elokus. This Loshen Mashal, Rashi and Parshas Mishpatim quotes this from a Medrash. There's a pasuk in Sefer Shmuel that says, Kasha Yoyma HaMashal HaKadmoinim Erishoyim Yetzei Resha. On the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim that it says that if someone kills someone else accidentally, he has to go to the Yoyim Miklod. The pasuk says, V'helekim Mina Liyodom. In Hashemayim, they caused this to happen, the accident, that this person killed the other one accidentally. So Rashi quotes on that pasuk, V'helekim Mina Liyodom, from the Medrash, that the pasuk in Sefer Shmuel says, Kasha Yoyma HaMashal HaKadmoini Merishoyim Yetzei Resha. All bad things emanate from bad people. Why do I have to run away to the Ori Miklot? If Elokim Min Aliyod, that's not my fault. The Ribbono Shel Olam caused it to happen. No, the Pasuk says, Merishoyim Yetzei Resha. The Ribbono Shel Olam will be Mechabed, a person who's Ben Kova Koa Rasha. He should do the dirty work. He should kill B'shoigig, this person who deserved to die. So since they picked me, it means that Ben Hashemayim, I did something wrong, so I have to go to Ori Miklot. I have to run away to go. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. Why am I punished? I have to go to the Ori Miklot if it's Elokim Min Aliyod. The Ribbono Shel Olam caused the tap. So the answer is, he picked me, Min HaShemayim, they picked me, because I'm an evil person anyway. So who is this Baal HaMemra? Kashiyoyim HaMashal HaKadmoini, as the ancient proverb goes. Who's the Baal HaMechaber of the ancient proverb? Who is it, Confucius? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, the Mashal HaKadmoini is the Torah, Shehu Mashalo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shehu Kadmono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the ancient one with the capital A. He was there before he created the whole world. And the Torah is Mishalo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you translate Mishalo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Authored by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Authored by the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Chafetz Chaim has several Svarim. People are afraid to learn the Chafetz Chaim because they know he keeps on talking about Lashon Hara, and they know they can't control themselves, so they don't want to read the Chafetz Chaim. First of all, the bulk of the Chafetz Chaim tells you when you have to tell Lashon Hara. So you got to read it. Sometimes you mechuyev to tell the Lashon Hara. And he tells you how to be careful about Lashon Hara. But then he has his other Svarim talk about Hashkafa. Very fascinating. So he talks about everything that's happening in the world. He has a sefer especially for the soldiers in the Goyish army. One of the boys who went to fight in the war a couple of years ago in Iraq borrowed my sefer, and I said, "You got to give it back." So half a year later, he was released from the army. He brought it back. He needed the sefer of the Chafetz Chaim, how to keep Shabbos and how to observe mitzvahs in the army. So one of the svarim that the Chafetz Chaim wrote, Shem Olam, it's a sefer on Hashkofen. He comments on this lashon that the Medrash has, that the Torah is mushalo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means not only that it's authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a mushal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like a photograph balaz, he writes, photographia balaz, that if I've never seen the president of the country, but I saw his photograph in the newspapers, then I'll be walking in the capital, and I'll bump into this man in the street, this Biodua, and I recognize him, I saw his photograph in the newspaper, so Biodua, that he's Mr. Obama. I can recognize him based on the photograph. So he says, the Torah is really a photograph, like a description of what the Likus is all about. So it's a mashal, that's why the Torah is called a mashal hakadmoni. So that's what the Baal HaTanya explains, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a description of Elokus in the form of writing, of presenting the 613 mitzvahs. So the mitzvahs have to be observed. It's not just a mashal. The mitzvahs have to be observed, and the mitzvahs leisas have to be observed. So ruba, the ruba of the mitzvahs can be observed, and then there are possibly one or two or three mitzvahs where it's lahoyev elayasi liyas is never going to happen, because the conditions are so impossible. So why did the Rebbeinu Shlom put it in at all? It doesn't make any sense. A human being wouldn't put such a law into a code of law. In the United States, each state has a state constitution. And then every couple of years, they have a constitutional convention, and they update the laws. The United States Constitution has amendments to it. They had to touch things up. They had to change things over the years. So the Torah can never be changed, because the Pasuk in Navi says in Treyos, Ani Hashem lo shanisi, v'atem ani akiv lo chilisim. Everything in the world keeps on changing, but the essence of the Ribbono Shel Olam never changes. Since the Torah is a description of Elokus, derech mashal, a mashal of a mashal of a mashal, so the laws of the Torah cannot change. And that's why it's possible to have certain mitzvahs that never were and never will be. The purpose of this Sefer Torah, the collection of all the 613 mitzvahs, is not only in order to observe the mitzvah seseh and not to violate the loy seseh, it's to give a full description of all the aspects of Elokus derech mashal. So there were certain aspects of Elokus that the Ribbono Shel Olam translated into a mitzvah that's never going to happen, never will happen, never happened, never is going to happen. Because these mitzvahs were given for the purpose of giving a complete picture, for the shleimus of the mashal of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch. It doesn't mean drosh v'kabas chad to learn another 10 block gemara and get more schar. We can chazer the 2,000, whatever you said, 700 blot without those 10 blot gemara. Means these 10 blot are crucial for the shleimus of the picture of HaKadosh Baruch. So that's why we have a parsha, possibly three mitzvahs, in Sora Mora and Bais HaMenuga. And here in Idachas could be one or two or three mitzvahs that never happened and never will happen. The Parsha ben Sarmara ends off with a line, V'chol yiso yishma'u v'yiro'u. So the Gemara Sanhedrin points out an interesting din. Abo atzrichim hachaza. From all of the people who are chayiv misa, only four of them need hachraza, that you have to publish in all the newspapers all over, put it on the news, on the television, whatever, that this person was put to death because of this aver. So the four who need hachraza really have one thing in common. One is ben Sarmara, and one is the Zaken Mamre, and the third one is Edim Zaymimim. Who's the fourth one? Mesis, I think. All four have something in common. They're really Nereg Al Shem Sofam. All the other people are Chai Misa. The Oynish Misa is a punishment L'Sha'ovar. Because he did such a terrible Avera, he deserves to be punished with an Oynish Misa. Over here, the Ben Sarmara, the Mishnah says, the Avera that he did doesn't really deserve Oynish Misa. What did he do? He stole money from his parents, and he went with a bunch of juvenile delinquents, a bunch of gangsters, and he bought sharp wine, Italian wine, that's really sharp, and he ate steak, and he's on his way to develop to become a juvenile delinquent, to become a gangster, to become a druggie, or something like that, to kill people. So, Yom Zaka by Yom Eschad, let's kill him now. Why should we wait till he kills someone else? Let's kill him now. So the Oynish Misa is really Al Shem Ha'asad, the same thing, the Edim Zemimim, is Kasher Zomim V'loi Kasher Asa. They didn't they didn't accomplish what they wanted. The Mesis tried to convince me to worship Avodah Zarah. He didn't succeed. So I come and I testify against him, or I get other people to testify against him. He didn't accomplish anything. And the same thing to Zaken Mamre. He paskens against Bez Nagodol. Nobody listens to him. We're not going to listen to him. So these four people, the avera that they did is not that serious an avera. The oinish that they're given is to serve as a deterrent for others that they shouldn't do the same. So that's why the pasuk requires by each one of these four, there's such an expression. Chol Yisrael Yishmu V'Yiro. That's why these four need hachraza. It could well be that they have another thing in common. The Rasam Rishonim hold that these four do not need hasra. The Gemara says in the first perek in Sanhedrin, the Gemara has a brisa. Shar chayvi misin shabbat Torah outside of Mesis need hasra. Mesis doesn't need hasra. So Rashi sounds like he learns it kipshuto. A Mesis doesn't need hasra. Tosfos says it's not true. He doesn't need as formal a hasra as everybody else needs. An informal hasra is sufficient. But Rashi seems to you don't need hasra at all. Then the Gemara says that a Zaken Mamre doesn't need hasra. Then the Rambam says Eidim Zemimim don't need hasra. Famous Rambam, Eidim Zem don't need hasra. L'fisha Ein Bo Maisa. What do you mean Ein Bo Maisa? Because the Aveira is done like they dibur. So the Ravid asks, what about Mesis? The Ravid asks, not Mesis, what about Megadev? Megadev is Hashem also, the Aveira is done like they dibur, so you don't need hasra. So the Kesef Mishnah says, yeah, maybe the Rambam holds. Whenever the Aveira is like they Amira, maybe you don't need hasra. So others learn it doesn't mean like the Kesef Mishnah, like the Ravid misunderstood the Ram. Doesn't mean Eidim Zemimim don't need Asra l'fishem bo Maisa. It's Dibur, the Aver is done al-yidei Dibur as opposed to being done al-yidei Asiya. That's not the Pshat. Eidim bo Maisa means Eidim Zemimim are not getting an oinish lisha over for something that they did. It's Anisharim Yishmu v'yiro. It's they attempted to do something. They didn't get away with it. It's Kasha Zama v'lo Kasha Rasa. So perhaps that's what the Rama means. They're not punished lisha over. Whenever the Aveira warrants a punishment, so then you need Hasra to officially declare the Aveira was b'mezid. We know it was b'mezid anyway, but you need Hasra to make it officially b'mezid. But here the Yoinish that the Eidim Zemimim get, and possibly all four, all of these four, the Ben Sora Mora, with the Mesis, with the Zaken Mamre, there are Gemaras that may indicate that all four don't need Hasra Mamish. You don't need Hasra because the Yoinish is not L'shover, it's to serve as a deterrent L'habor, that other people shouldn't do the Aveira. The next parsha in the Torah is about if a person deserves Einish Mises Bezdin. So the Torah says, L'salin if l'asal ha'eitz, you shouldn't do halonas ha'meis, kavatik v'rena b'yamahu, you have to bury on the same day. So the Rashash on Sanhedrin points out, well, the Gemara says that it doesn't only apply to Haruge Bezdin, the simple pasuk goes on Haruge Bezdin, l'chiyah b'ish, Chesh Mishpat Mavis Behumas, that Bezin puts him to death. So the Gemara learns that Kovetik Berenu, the Kefa Loshen, there's a Machloikas Satanoim, where they say Dibra Terek L'Shem Ben Yodim, or Lod Dibra Terek L'Shem Ben Yodim. So Rabbi Shmuel holds, Lod Dibra Terek L'Shem Ben Yodim, and Lashonis Kfulim don't necessarily mean anything. We don't accept Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. We pass like Rabbi Akiva. Whenever it says Nosin Tidna Hanik Tanik, Pasach Tiftach, Ozav Taza, whenever it says twice, Aloshin, Kef Aloshin, it means to be Marbe something. So Kovetik Berenu, the Gemara says, is Marbe, even a person is Mesal Mitosa. A person dies at the age of 100, 120, he dies. Also, there's a mitzvah Kvura. We assume that Kvura Shar Mesim is also derais. Not only Kvura Saruge Bezen, Kvura Shar Mesim, because of the Kef Aloshin, Kovetik Berenu. So we assume that there's a mitzvah sesi to bury kovetik berena b'yom ahu. If it's possible, you should bury before the shkia. If you're going to, a person dies in the daytime, you wait till the nighttime, it's already tomorrow. So it's not b'yom ahu. And if that's not possible, second best is you should bury at night before alos ha-shachar. If it'll come alos ha-shachar, that's called halona. Like if you mail in korbanis, if you leave over korban till the morning, it's nifsal balina. So lina is always with alos ha-shachar. That's what the Rashash points out in the Poskim Assum, like that. Solin the Vlas Allah Aids, Alonis Ames is violated if you wait till Alois HaShachar. The Mishnah says, Helineu Lechvodo, if you left the person over, this is very common, a person dies on one day, you don't do the Kvura till the next day. Why? Helineu Lechvodo, he wanted to notify all the friends and relatives that people should come to the funeral to make more Kvura Ames. So the Mishnah says that that's permissible. Helineu Lechvodo is Mutter. So some Achranim ask Akasha, why? There is a Machlekes HaTanaim, whether Darshin and Taima Dikro, Aloy Darshin and Taima Dikro. We spoke about it a little bit on Monday night, and yesterday I think we spoke about it. If it says in the Chumash, this week's Sedra, has a lot of dinim about lending money, Lasachval Beged Almana, about Mashkinas. So it says you're not allowed to take Beged Almana as a Mashkin. So the Gemara says, we know the reason why. Because he's going to have to get back the pajamas at night and get back the dress in the morning. She's going to stand undressed. There's going to be a busha. All the people in the neighborhood are going to be Masiya Shem Rabbi Shechina Seh. So the Gemara later in Bab Metzia has a machlekes Rab Shimon and Achacham. What if she's an almono ashira? She's a very wealthy woman. She gives you 1,000 dresses as a mashkin. She's not going to ask for the dresses back. She has 1,000 dresses at home. She doesn't need these dresses back. Ksus Yom Bayom and Ksus Laila Balaila. So the reason for the mitzvah doesn't apply. So do you say Dashin and Taima Dikro that the reason for the mitzvah Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is of the opinion that Dashin and Taima Dikro, the Tamei HaMitzvahs are one of the Midrash HaTer and the Dreshes Bem. Whenever the Tam doesn't apply, then mitzvah doesn't apply. We don't pass on like Reb Shimon. We hold Loi Dashin and Taima Dikro. Taima Dikro is a chelik of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. We should learn what are the Taryag Mitzvahs, what are all the details of the Taryag Mitzvahs, and what moral, ethical, or religious principle is the mitzvah trying to teach us. But we don't say that the Tamei HaMitzvah serve as a Midrash HaTer and Dreshes Bem, that it should regulate the application of the mitzvah. So that's what Achreinim ask a kasha. So how come all of a sudden over here, by the Mishnah says, Helinei Lechvodo, Halonis Hameis, is because Bizoyin Hameis. So if you did Helinei Lechvodo, if you made an Hameis Lekover Hameis, then it's Mutter. Why? But we don't pass like Reb Shimon. Why is all of a sudden over here is different? So the Achreinim say it's not a kasha. Because the pasuk says, "Kavatik berama yamahu ki kilos alekim taloi." The pasuk gives you the reason right next to the tzivui. By almana lasachvel beger almana, the pasuk does not write the reason. The tanoim figured it out on their own, and they were convinced that that is the correct reason. But the pasuk doesn't say, "Don't do this because of this reason." But the Gemara says in the second parak in Sanhedrin, whenever the pasuk says a mitzvah, then it says right away the reason. So the Chachamim, the Reb Shimon also agreed. Dashin and time says beferish. Observe this mitzvah. Because of this reason. So whenever the reason doesn't apply, so the whole mitzvah doesn't apply. We have later in today's Sedra, repeat the same thing. Because they were related to the Jewish people, Ammon and Moav are descendants from Lot, and Lot was a nephew of Avram Avinu, so we're Kroivim, so they should have been decent to us when we were traveling in the Midbar. When we asked them for food, they should have sold us the food. They didn't want to help us out. So therefore, they're mean people, so we shouldn't allow them to intermarry. So the Mishnah says that females from Amoni v'lai Amonis, Mayavi v'lai Mayavis, that Rus HaMoavia was Muteris to marry, because the Pasuk gives the reason, Ish Darka L'Kadmi, Ish Ein Darka L'Kadmi. Kol Kvuda Bas Melech Penimo refers to even to the non-Jews, that the women used to stay home. The women in the ideal society years ago, in the days of the Tanakh, the women didn't have any public roles. So because the women of Ammon and Moav didn't sin, so that's why the din doesn't apply to them. So you can't ask a kasha, lo yidashin etayim edikro. That's not a kasha. The pasuk says, "Le'yava money al dvar shalokid maskam." Says beferish the reason, right next to the mitzvah. Whenever the reason is right next to the mitzvah, so that's the gemara in the second parak in Sanhedrin that everyone will agree darshin and time of the kro. There isn't any machlekes over there. This mitzvah of halonis hameis, it says in Shulchan Aruch, quoting from the Yerushalmi, that it only applies if the meis is Jewish. By Mesa Yakim, there's no mitzvah of kvura. We're not mechuyev to be mekabre them, and there's no isa halonas ameis. The Ramban writes, unless it's Eretz Yisrael, because the pasuk says, "Kavatik b'rena b'yamahu kikilas elakim talui v'loy setameis hadmoscha asher Hashem alakech nosin l'chon nahaloh." What does that have to do with Eretz Yisrael? And the mitzvah of halonas ameis applies even in Chutz La'aretz. So the Ramban, Chumash explains, in Chutz La'aretz, the mitzvah of kvura only applies to Mesa Yisrael. Meis Yakim, there's no mitzvah of kvura. But in Eretz Yisrael, there's an added concern. So you have to bury the goyish and meisim as well. And that's a pasuk in Yeshua. It says when they hung up the Lamed Aleph Malachim, so it says they took them down before the sun set to fulfill what it says, Karkofis Haras Moshe, as it says in the Chumash, that you have to bury them the same day. The Lamed Aleph Malachim were goyim. So the Ramban says, you see, Mefurish from the Pasuk in Yoshua, that that's what the Torah is saying. See, that's a problem. Rabbi Chalap's father was a very famous Talmud Chacham. Years ago, when Rabbanim in New York area used to have shilas, they used to ask Rabbi Chalap's father, shilas chalitzas and gittin and other things. When there was someone who was sick, they would call his mother to daven. His mother was a famous tzaddikus. He used to daven all day long. And his father was a tzaddik also, but his father was a famous Talmud Chacham. They used to ask him a lot of shilas. And Rabbi Moshe became very famous. Rabbi Moshe took over all the shilas. But before Rabbi Moshe became so famous, Rabbi Chalap's father used to pass on a lot. So he has in one of his svarim, he has a comment. He wonders how are they allowed to have medical schools in Eretz Yisrael, to have dead bodies there, and they don't bury them. The poskim say in Europe that you're not allowed to use a Jewish cadaver to study anatomy in a medical school for three reasons. First of all, amesa zosabahno, so when you use the body, and you learn anatomy, so you're getting hanoah from the mace. Mace is also hanoah. And secondly, they usually dissect the body, so that's nivel mace. You're not allowed to do nivel mace. And thirdly is halonas mace. You have to bury the body the same day. So it's usually assumed that by mace akum, none of these apply. Mace akum, there's no chi of kvura, and the whole source of nivel mace, he said nivel mace is because of the mitzvah of kvura, kilas elakim toli. Shouldn't be mevaze kavod abrius. There's a din of kavod abrius to nochem while they're alive. After they die, there's no more kavod abrius. By the Jews, there's kavod achaim and kavod amesim, both. Even after they die, the Jewish body has a din of kavod amesim. Kavod achaim is more chomer than kavod amesim. By goyish bodies, after they die, there's no din of kavod amesim.
What about the pasuk yatel akim yefes, where we say that's a kvura? They merit a kvura?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we can learn from there that they do, are they should get
there? In Eretz Yisrael, that's also in Eretz Yisrael. That's also in Eretz Yisrael. Asi Lava by Mohammed Gog and Magog. Yeah. So those are the three reasons that they prohibit using a Jewish body to do to study. In Eretz Yisrael for many years, they had enough, they used to use dead bodies of Arabs, of terrorists. Now they made a law, they're not allowed to use any Goyish dead bodies. And it's all the medical schools, they use Jewish dead bodies. It's against the din. It's against the din, you're not allowed to. They give you a special exemption. If you say for religious purposes, you don't want to deal with a Jewish dead body, so that you'll be putter from it. But you won't know medicine as well. If you're just studying the books and you don't touch the body with your fingers, you're not gonna be as good a doctor as the other guy. So you have to come to America where they use dead bodies.
What's the difference between the halana samesri roshalayim?
The Gemara says in Baba Kama that there are 10 dinim, special 10 dinim in Yerushalayim. So one of the 10 dinim is emelinim basameis. So what do you mean emelinim basameis? It's a din all over the world, emelinim basameis. So the Rishonim there, the Shita Mekubetz explains, even if it's helinei luchvodo, you want to get more people to attend the funeral, you want to wait till tomorrow. So in Yerushalayim is a special din, you're not allowed to. Why are you not allowed to? Yeah, why are you not allowed to? So the Gemara says it's a Gemara Gemirah, it's a tradition. We're more makbid on Tumas Yerushalayim than on the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Emelinimus ames, even lekovet ames. Then you have the next parsha is about Hashavas Aveda. Monday night we were running through the parsha to show that much of Maseches Bo Metzia is based on this parsha. Everything about Hashavas Aveda is based on the parsha. Then you have the din of Prika Teina. Prikas and Parshas Mishpatim, and here you have the din of Teino to load up the Hamor. We spoke about that also on Monday night. Then you have the next Parsha, Shiluach HaKan. Shiluach HaKan is a mitzvah that applies Bein Boretz, Bein Mechutz La'aretz. There is a major Machlokes in Achreinim, the Pischei Tshuva and Yerideya, Chelek Aleph, Yerideya quotes this Machlokes Achreinim. What's the nature of the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan? Does it only apply if I'm interested in using the Beitzim or the Efroichim? So I'm not allowed to take L'sikachim al-Abanim, have to send away Shalech to Shalach HaSaim, and then M'sabanim Tikach Loch. What if I'm not interested in anything? I don't want the mother, I don't want the Beitzim, I don't want anything. So that's a big machloikas in Achreinim. And it's based on Stiris and the Yukim and the Gemara. The Minchas Chinuch points it out, and all the Svarim point it out. There are some passages in the Gemara where it implies The whole mitzvah only applies if you're interested in using the beitzim and more the ephraim. I'm not interested in the whole thing. I want to mind my own business. I don't want to touch these contaminated birds. I don't want to get whatever sickness they have. So if you're not interested, so walk away. Or you say, no, you must send away the aim, even though you're not interested. That's what some quote from the Zohar. What is the reason for the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKan? So the Zohar says, if it's not the way we usually assume, the Zohar says to demonstrate achzorius on the mother. The mother is going to be crying her heart out. You sent away the mother, who's going to take care of the Ephrachim or the Beitzim? So we have to demonstrate achzorius to the aim, and once we'll demonstrate achzorius, the Shari Rachmim in heaven will open up, and once the Shari Rachmim open up, so the Rachmim will pour out on everybody, not only on the mother, on all of mankind as well. We need a lot of Rachmim. It's a gimmick, it's a way to get Shari Rachmim in heaven to open up. So the way the Zohar says, the Achronim say, the Chiyuv Shiloh HaKan should apply, even if you're not interested in taking the Beitzim or the Ephraim. So that's a big machlekes in Yerideya. The Pesachei Tshuva calls this machlekes Achronim. In recent years, it's assumed like that the mitzvah even applies if you're not interested in taking the Ephraim or the Beitzim. The Gemara in the first parak of Mechoras and Davav has a whole discussion. How do you know that milk is kosher? We have a rule that milk from a pig is osir. Ayotzim and atomi tomi. Milk from eggs, from an ostrich egg, is osir basayana. What do you mean basayana? Means a yano lays an egg. So an ostrich egg or an eagle's egg is treif. Ayotzim and atomi tomi. Ayotzim and atohar tohar. So the Gemara asks, even an egg from a kosher hen, and even milk from a kosher cow should be osur. Calls man, the animal is alive, you didn't shecht it yet, so it's an iser. Whatever the iser is, Rashi said the iser, even achai. Tosis says, no, even achai is only if you rip off a limb. Calls man, everything's together. Behema b'chaya labay varmimenes. So Tosis said, there's an iser, ein azvucha. Whatever the iser is, but the Gemara says, behema b'chaya, is because kasisra medis, even the milk from a kosher cow or the eggs from a kosher hen should be treif. Everything should be yotzim and osa. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara Mechoras says the fact that the Torah praises Eretz Yisrael, that it's the land flowing with milk and honey, is chalav adash, araya, that the milk is kosher. The Torah wouldn't praise Eretz Yisrael if the milk is treif. So the Rishonim, the Bahag, asked the question, how do you know that eggs are kosher? The Gemara just proved that milk is kosher. So some Rishonim say, once you have a pasuk that the milk is kosher, so you see that this mahalach hamachshava is wrong. So the huadinami, the eggs from a kosher bird, you don't say yotzim and aser unless the animal has an iser loisesi. That's what the Rambam says. That's what the Rambam understood. If the animal only has an iser esse, a venus vucha, doesn't have an iser loisesi to it, so then there's no din of yotzim and aser. And others say no. The Shachan Yeridei quotes this. Others say no. The marker that eggs are kosher is from this pasuk. It says, "Lesikachem al abanim." It says, "Vesabanim tikach loch," and you take the beitzim for yourself, and you keep it, and you eat it. The Gemara says the din of shiluah hakan doesn't only apply if the hen, if the mother bird. You got to know. A lot of people think they're doing shiluah hakan. It only applies to the mother, not the father. So I think they say in the daytime the father's sitting on the eggs, and nighttime the mother's sitting on the eggs. You have to do shiloh hakan at night. You can't do it in the daytime. Unless you know that it's a female. You have to know. I wouldn't know the difference. I don't know whether the bird is sitting on the eggs, a male or a female. So whoever knows, knows. Whoever does know. So usually in the daytime, the father sits. Nighttime, the mother sits. So the Gemara said, Mishnah says, it doesn't have to be that this female bird is laid these eggs. It can be a female bird of one min and eggs of another min. But it has to be, they both have to be kosher. It doesn't apply if the eggs are from a non-kosher bird, because it says, "Asabarim tikach loch," you can take it and eat it for yourself. So you see mefurish on the pasuk that eggs from a kosher bird are kosher. That's what half of the Rishonim say. Half of the Rishonim say, we know eggs are mutar b'achila because of the heter of chalav. And the other half of the Rishonim say, no, we know that eggs are mutar b'achila based on this pasuk. "Asabarim tikach loch."
So when that says, you should feed the eggs to you, doesn't that mean that it has to be a kosher bird that you should look
like? Yeah. They both have to be kosher. The mother has to be kosher, and the eggs have to be kosher. But it doesn't have to be, she doesn't have to be the mother who laid these eggs. Then you have the mitzvah of ma'ake. Shivna bayis chadash, asisa maka liga gecha. So the Gemara says bayis means a bezdira, where people live. If you have a shul and people use the roof, the old mitzvah maka only applies if people use the roof. Let's say in my building, nobody ever uses the roof. You don't know, they don't, they're not allowed to put a silk on the roof. You're not allowed to do anything on the roof. So you don't need a maka. Once or twice a year, a roofer has to come to fix the roof, so he'll be careful not to fall off. The only, the Mishnah Berurah has this in Hilchos Chalamoed, of all places. He talks about fixing, the Shulchan Aruch talks about fixing the roof on Chalamoed, and the Bir Halacha writes, and by the way, you should know that the Chiyuv Maka only applies if the nature of the roof is such that that they use the roof, Boifen Kavua. But if you don't use Boifen Kavua, you don't have to. So let's say you have a shul, nobody lives downstairs, it's not a Beis Dira, but they do use the roof. So the Gemara says, no Chiyuv Mezuzah, no Chiyuv Maka. Chiyuv Maka only applies if it's a Beis Dira downstairs. Aye, but someone can fall off the roof and get killed. So how can it be? So the Achrayim, a lot of Achrayim are bothered with this. Someone can get killed. So a lot of Achrayim came up with the following answer. When it comes to Maka, there's both a mitzvah saseh and a mitzvah lois saseh. The asisa Maka la gagecha is a mitzvah saseh, but asasum dama meisecha is a mitzvah lois saseh. So a lot of Achrayim say, the mitzvah saseh of Maka, some say you say a bracha when you put up a Maka. Maka is the last simen in Choshen Mishpat, the very last page in Choshen Mishpat. They have their, some Achrayim came up with a chiddush, just like mezuzah on a rented house, as Shulchan Aruch Paskins like that opinion. Mezuzah on a rented house is only midirabbanon, so Maka on a rented house is only midirabbanon. Others find it difficult, but if the guy falls off and he gets killed, he's going to be dead min haTorah. He's not going to be dead midirabbanon. Says keep ala noichel mimenu. So what's the difference? Because it's rented, it belongs to you. Kisivna baischad has to belong to me. I can lose my life the other way also. But many achrenim hold like that. That maka on a rented house only with the rabban. So there's a machlekes there. Do you say a bracha when you put up a maka? So a lot of achrenim hold that you do say a bracha when you put up a maka. So that's what a lot of achrenim gave this answer. Dvar Avraham and others have like this. When you put a maka on a house that has a beis dira downstairs, then you say a bracha. When you, of course, on top of the shul, you need a maka, but you're only putting the maka in order to avoid violation of the law, l'asasim damim b'veisecho. But the mitzvah saseh, you asis a maka to say a bracha, that doesn't apply on top of a shul. It only applies if you use the roof on top of the beis dira. No, if it's not a roof that's normally used, there's no losasim neither. No, there's no sakana. The Gemara says losasim dama veisecha doesn't only apply to maka; it applies not to leave anything dangerous around the house. Sulam ra'ua b'toch beisa, kelev ra b'toch beisa. The Gemara Bava Kama says it's all included in the din of losasim dama veisecha. The Chazanish quotes this answer. That you have the lois essay, but you don't have the essay. He thinks that it's not true. He says the answer is classy, it's nice, but he says it's not true. The simple reading in the morning, you don't have to put a maka at all on top of the shul. How can it be? Someone can get killed. So he gives a different answer. I don't know. But that's a popular. That was a popular notion, the chilik between the essay and the lois essay. Then the Torah has the din of kilai hakerem. You're not allowed to plant kilayim. Not only you're not allowed to plant kilayim, those who learned Bava Basra, the first daf in Bava Basra, they quote the Tosefta in kilayim. That they have, great minatara kilay hakerem only applies in Eretz Yisrael. And the chutzlers, they introduced it midirabbanan. So midirabbanan, it applies all over the world. So the kiloy Yisrael only applies in Eretz Yisrael, and they didn't even aser in Chutz Lartz. They never introduced in a Chutz Lartz. And Harkovas Zeroyim, that's Tyson said that's a suffix in the Gemara, whether Harkovas Zeroyim applies to Chutz Lartz or not. So the first daf in Bava Basra, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah with a Tosefta from Klein. What if I have grain growing on one side and grapes growing on the other side? And they're close to each other and they're near each other, but I have a fence that's mopsic. So once you have a fence that's mopsic, even though below the ground they're yonic from each other, the fence that's mopsic removes the isiklaim. What about mechitzas hakerem shenifritza? What do you do if the fence fell down? So Amrim lo gadar. Nifritz a second time. Amrim lo gadar. Nisiyai shaman of aloy gadra, if he doesn't hustle, if he doesn't hurry up to put the fence back up, so the Gemara says, it may reach a point that everything will become osabahno, because klei kerem is osabahno. Even though he didn't violate an aver by planting it, the aver is lo sizra kamacha kilayim, to plant it all together. He planted separately, this on this side, this on that side, there was a fence mafsik in between. But mechitza kem shenifritza, when the fence falls down, then you have a, you're not allowed to leave the kilayim there, and it'll become osabahno. Even though no one violated any, nobody violated an aver of planting it, it'll become osa. How do you know that klakem is osa? Because it says pen tigdash hamleya zereshatizo tuas hakorim. Tigdash means that it'll become treif. It'll become osa bahano. Then the Gemara says pen tigdash has the connotation of pen tukadesh, not just that it's osa bahano. This is minhan isrofim. The Mishnah in the last daf in Tmura lists off all of the suri hano. Some of them are nisrofim and some of them are nigbarim. Let's say by mistake you mixed in basa b'cholam. So the din is basa b'cholam, the rice is asa b'ano, but you throw it in the garbage. You're not allowed to give it to the non-Jewish maid, because that's called getting hano. She's going to work better for you, because he gave her a bonus. He gave her the, if you have some tray for food around the house by mistake, you bought some tray for food, so you can give it to the non-Jewish maid. It's muta b'ano. But by mistake, he cooked basa b'cholam, the rice, that's asa b'ano. So you're not allowed to give it to the non-Jewish maid, because you're going to get hano. If you give it to a nachri hamakira, you get hano. So the Gemara says that the basa b'chalav is not ton sreifa, but certain other isuri hano atunim sreifa. So one of them on the list is kiloi hakerem. Kiloi hakerem says pentukdash, and the drush is pentukadesh. If you let it become basa b'chalav, if you let it become kiloi hakerem, then the din will require you have to burn it. So the Mishnah has there Mishnah in the first daf of Bava Basra, quoting the Mishnah from Maseches Kalayim, and the Sefta Maseches Kalayim. If you leave the fence down for how long, does everything become Osabano? So the Gemara says, if Hosif Masayim. What does it mean, Hosif Masayim? So the Pashup Shat, Rashi writes in several places in the Gemara. Whenever this comes up, Rashi goes through the whole Chadgadi. He gives you the whole Pshat all over again. That whatever grows after the fence falls down is Osabano, but it'll be Batal Berayv. Whatever grows, there's already a certain size grape. So the little bit of the grape, but there's already a certain size of the grain growing on one side of the fence. So if a little bit more grows now, it'll be asamana, but it'll be bottle bereit. How much has to grow that it should no longer be bottle bereit? What do you mean bottle bereit? We have 51% heter, 49% iser, so that's bottle bereit menatera. So you have to have that the grape should grow after the fence fell down. The grape should now be twice the size that it was before. And the kernels of grain should be twice the size that they were before. So there's no longer a rug. You don't no longer have 51% heter, 49% iser. You have 50-50. So the minatora, the kilayim, if the fence falls down by itself, the kilayim will only become usser if it's kefil, if godel kefil, if it's twice as big as it was before. Mid the rabbanon they made a chumra that kloy hakerem needs masayim to be mevatelin. Anything less than masayim, it won't become bottle. Rashi holds mim and mina in a bottle, that we pass in la locha, then mim and mina in a bottle. Okay. But here Rashi is explaining the way the other Tanaim say. That's a strong point. Okay. Yeah. So Rashi explains that mid the Rabbanon there is a requirement for Masayim. So if the fence falls down and a little bit of grape continues to grow till it's 1/200th larger than it was before, so it's already not bottle, because you no longer have Masayim Heter against the one unit of Issa. So when it says in all the Mishnahs, Hosef Masayim, it becomes also, sometimes the grapes may be growing at a faster speed than the grain. So maybe that if you leave it for a week, it could be that the grapes will be Hosef Masayim and the grain will not be Hosef Masayim. It could be the reverse. It could be the grain will be Hosef Masayim, the grapes will not be Hosef Masayim. It's possible that one will be also, the other one will not be also, because one was Hosef Masayim, one was not. So the Minchas Chinuch has a long essay, he explains it. So he says, according to Rashi, this whole din of Hosam Asayim is only a Chumra Midirabban. Min HaTorah, the grapes and the grain will only become Aser if it's Pishnaim, if it's twice as big as it was before, because Kol Zman, that it's not twice as big, the amount that grew after the fence fell down, Taka is Aser, but it'll be bottled beroy. He says a taina that Rashi himself happens to paskin that mim amino is b'mashu. That's a strong kasha. I don't know. Very strong kasha. I think the first one in print who raises the kasha is Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. No, we looked it up last year. Very strange. Took so many centuries till someone asked that kasha.
If you were to sell that field, would you have to deduct the value of the kilayim?
Yeah, you're not allowed to get hana from it.
But even though it's bittul by rope, like Yai Nessa, he would say a similar thing, that even though it's bittul...
Oh, I mean, it's not yet hosif masayim. Yeah. No, then it's mutter. If it's bottled beroiv, then it's mutter. So then I am allowed to sell. I am allowed to make money on it. Yeah. So according to Rashi, this whole din of hosif masayim is only midirabbana. The problem is that this Sefer Chinuch writes that it's a din deraisa. So the Minchas Chinuch says he doesn't understand it all. So Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky wrote several volumes, commentaries on the Tosefta. So on the Tosefta in Klein, he has a very good essay on this topic. And he quotes a Ramban on the first daf in Bava Basra, and he quotes the Sefer Yireyim, a tiny group of Rishonim, just three Rishonim he found, who hold that the Hosam Asayim is a Shia Deraisa in the Din of Hamaleah. Hosam Asayim is a Din Deraisa. It's not a Din Midrabbana like Rashi says. That min atar, it's only also if it's kefil, twice as big, and it's only with the rabbanon hosam asayim that you need masayim to be mevatel klei hakeim. Hosam asayim is the shira maleil. It's a big chiddush. Torah has several prohibitions of kelaim one after the other. This is a karmachol kelaim. The sachris b'shor b'chamor yachdav, that's kilaim in hamanik b'kilaim. The silba shatna is kilaim in migodim. And then it has about marrying kilaim. You shouldn't marry a woman who doesn't fit in with your level. A Jew shouldn't live with a shivchoknainis. It's also a form of kilaim. The Ibn Ezra writes. The Rambam has a unique opinion. L'sachrish b'shor v'chamor yachdav. The Rambam's opinion is that min haTorah, the prohibition of kloy behema, only applies if one is a kosher animal, one is a non-kosher animal, shor v'chamor. But if both animals are kosher, both animals are a non-kosher animal, the Mishnah say b'feirish that it's prohibited to be manig in these two animals, but the Rambam's opinion that it's only midrabbanan. It's quite an original chiddush. Last year we spent a lot of time talking about smuchim, about la silba shatnez, gedilim tasalacha, esedech alaisese. Last year we found that many of the highlights of Yevamos, we learned Yevamos last year, are based on psukim and kiseitze. On Monday night we pointed out many of the highlights of Bar Metzia are based on psukim in the parsha. We have a din later in the parsha, lo yovah p'tzua dako krushavcha b'kal Hashem, and there are two versions how to spell the word p'tzua dako. Ashkenazim spell it with an aleph, dalet chaf aleph, and Sfardim spell it with a hey. So everyone's Sefer Torah has a 50-50 chance that it may be puzzle, because if you're missing a letter, the Rambam quotes the halacha. Doesn't really say it in the Gemara, but it says it in the Zohar, that if Sefer Torah shechaser aysachas, is puzzle. So every Sefer Torah has a suffix, whether it's spelled correctly. So how do you say a bracha on Kriyas HaTorah? The Rambam writes that you can only learn Kriyas HaTorah if it's a kosher Sefer Torah. Any given Sefer Torah is a 50-50 chance it may be puzzle. So this is a big problem that the post can work on. So the Minchas Chinuch lived in the early 1900s, died in the early 1900s. He came up with an answer that's the accepted, that's the going answer. The Shagas Ari talks about the Kasha. For centuries they spoke about that Kasha. And Haschina gives the following answer. He thinks the Sefer Torah that's missing one letter is puzzle means if the word is spelled incorrectly. Let's say the right Petzua Daka Dalet Kuf Aleph. A Kuf instead of a Chaf. That's clearly a misspelling. Or you'll write Noach Nun Chaf. Nun Chaf is an incorrect spelling. So that's Sefer Torah Shechazer Asaf. But if you write Petsua Dako, basically either spelling is a correct spelling, Dalet Chaf Aleph, Dalet Chaf Hei, either spelling is correct. One is in accordance with the Masorah, the other one is not in accordance with the Masorah. So if it's not in accordance with the Masorah, you should correct it. Chivin should correct it. But he has a Chiddush that wouldn't pass al B'dievet. So that's the accepted answer today. We assume if you have a word in the Chumash that's misspelled, if it's clearly it's not a correct spelling, according to the dictionary, it's a mistaken spelling, then the whole Sefer Torah is possible. But if it's not in accordance with the Masorah, but it is a correct spelling in Hebrew, then it wouldn't pass al Sefer Torah. So on that assumption, the Poskim, after the Minchas Chinuch, the Poskim raised the question, what about the spelling of the word Na'aro? We have several times in today's Seder it says Na'aro, and it's a Kriyoksiv. It's spelled Nun Ayin Resh, and the pronunciation is Nun Ayin Resh. So the Minchas Chinuch says, if you have a word that's misspelled, but it's a correct spelling, just that it's not in accordance with the Masorah, doesn't pass on, unless it's a Kriyoksiv. If you have a Kriyoksiv, it's supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be the Ksiv, it's supposed to be the Ksiv. And if they wrote it the way the Kri is, then it would pass by the other. So that's what the later Poskim raised the question, what about Na'aro? Let's say you have a Sefer Torah where the Sefer spelled every time Na'aro, Nun Ayin Resh Hei. That is a correct spelling. Sometimes in the Chumash it's spelled Nun Ayin Resh Hei. So should we assume that when it says Na'aro and it's spelled Nun Ayin Resh, that's a Kri Uksiv, so that would pass by the other? Or do you say no? These are two correct ways of spelling, that's not a Kri Uksiv. The two correct ways of spelling the word Na'aro, Nun Ayin Resh and Nun Ayin Resh Hei. And here, according to the Masorah, it's supposed to be spelled Nun Ayin Resh. But if they spelled every time, they spelled the Na'aro, Nun Ayin Resh, Nun Ayin Resh Hei, maybe it wouldn't pass by the other. Maybe that's not considered a Kriyaksiv. So this is the suffix that the later Poskim raised on the assumption that you're accepting the position of the Minchas Chinuch. That the Minchas Chinuch says, the only time it passes b'dievet is if it's an incorrect spelling according to the dictionary, or if it's a kriyaksiv. So what do you say here? Na'ara, Nun Ayin Resh, is that a kriyaksiv? But he say no. There are two correct ways to spell the word. And according to the Masorah, here it's supposed to be spelled correctly, Nun Ayin Resh. That's the din that they have. Torah has the din of onus and mefata. Here the Torah and Parshas Kitzetz, so the Torah has a din of oinus, and Parshas Mishpatma has a din of matata. They have to pay chamishim shekel kesef. Chamishim shekel kesef, kesef yishkol doesn't say here, it says in Mishpatim by matata. Kesef yishkol kemohar habesulois. This man matan Torah, that was the practice, that when a besula would get married, they would give her a ksuba of chamishim shekel. That's a machlokes hatanaim. Does that mean a ksuba deraisa? That's taka the din deraisa? No. The institution of oinus and mefata, the Torah says they pay chamishim shekel kesef because this was the minig bizman antara, but not necessarily that's a din. That's what we assume. Most of Rishonim assume ksuba lav deraisa. Ksuba lav deraisa. The din deraisa is you have to pay chamishim shekel kesef by oinus and mefata, because now she won't be able to get a ksubas besula. The minig was that they used to give, but it's not a din. Yeah. I bet it says in the ksuba, 200 zuz is 50 shkolim, 4 zuz and 1 shekel. The chazilichim ederaisa. So the Sfardim don't have the chazilichim ederaisa. The Ashkenazim have that in the text of the Ksuba. The Chazilich Medarasa. Is that a problem? Why do you write the Chazilich Medarasa? So one of the Balei HaTosfos was led to believe that Ri holds that Ksuba Deraisa in the first Perek in Ksubas. But we don't follow that opinion. We hold that Ksuba is Lav Deraisa. So the Rosh explains, what does the Loshen of the Ksuba mean, the Chazilich Medarasa? So he says, the Gemara says in Bava Kama and in Kiddushin and in Pchoiris, a few places, the Gemara says that there were two monetary systems running simultaneously in Eretz Yisrael, is Manatanoim. They had the monetary system of Kesef Tzuri and Kesef Medina. Visualize, let's say, Canadian coins and American coins. So you have, they both have pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, half dollars, and dollars. But they're not the same. The penny and the nickel dime, they're all the same. They're 5 pennies and a nickel, and 2 nickels and a dime, and so on, 25 cents and a quarter, and so on. but the American coins and the Canadian coins are not the same. So bizmans, usually American coins are worth more, and once in a while the Canadian coins are worth more. Changes, fluctuates. So bizman atanoim, they had these two monetary systems. Each system had pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, half dollars, and so on. And the kesef tzuri was always 8 times as much as the kesef medina. Every dollar in the kesef tzuri was 8 times as much as the value. It was 8 times the value of a dollar in kesef medina. So the Gemara says, so whenever the din says you have to pay $100, what does it mean? Kesef tzuri money, kesef medina money. So the Gemara says, kol kesef ha'aman ba'toira is kesef tzuri. Whenever the Torah says the din, you have to give machzal shekel, you have to give meyer kesef ha'moitzi shemra, you have to give chamishim shekel for oynes ha'mefata, you have to give shloshim shalevet if the shamud kills an ebed. All the dinim that say in the Torah, you have to give an amount of money, that has to be given in kesef tzuri. V'shel divrei, whenever it's a penalty med the rabbanon, whenever there's going to be a mishnah in Bava Kama that says if he did this, you got to pay so much money. So the Tanoim were using the language, loshim ha'yodam, so they meant kesef medina. They didn't mean kesef tzuri, the lowest standard. So that's the shaila. What's the story with the ksuba? So the Rosh says, even though we pass ksuba as lav deraisa, but you have to give 50 shkolim, 200 zuz, the chazi lichem deraisa, money that's deraisa dika money. You have to give the 50 shkolim a kesef tzuri, not 50 shkolim a kesef medina. Because the takona derabanan of ksuba was pattern after the din deraisa of Oynes HaMefata. Oynes HaMefata is a din deraisa. So it's 50 shkolim of kesef tzuri. So our money also, the 50 shkolim, the 200 zuz that the psula gets, is kesef tzuri, not kesef medina. Then in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramo quotes this Rosh, and he said that's only by besula. Ksubas besula is pattern after the pasuk in Chumash. Ksubas almana, if a girl is getting married for the second time, or the third time, whatever, not the first time. So then the ksuba for sure is only the rabbanon. So that's 100 zuz, a kesef medina. That's not kesef tzuri. So when you learn mishnayos, you always have the mistaken impression that ksubas besula is twice the value of ksubas almana. This is 200 zuz and this is 100 zuz. So the Rama says wrong. It's not twice as much. It's 6 times as much. It's twice as much in the number. This is 200 zuz. This is 100 zuz. But this is 200 zuz of kesef tzuri. And this is 100 zuz of kesef medina. So it's 1/8 the value, 1/8 and 1/2. It's only 100 instead of 200. So it's 16 times as much. When you learn Mishnah's Ksubas here, people don't pay attention. But that's what the Rav Mor Paskins and Eben Ezra. He quotes all this from the Rosh. The Rosh is in Kiddushin, the first parent.
Very free. If the whole point is that the Rabbanan pattern their laws after the Raisa laws, and shouldn't we say, why don't they use tzuri for everything? Meaning, why are we saying that in this case for the sula, we're patterning it after the 50 shekel kesef tzuri, but for everything else, we're not going to?
Right, there is another opinion in Rishonim that the ksuba salmana is half the amount of ksuba sula, whatever it is. The ksuba salmana is half, it's not 1/16. But that's not the accepted opinion. So I would have said, like you too. That's one opinion in every Rishonim. But the accepted opinion is that it's 1/16. Surprising.
Doesn't the Gemara say that it's called Almana Al Sheimane? Sounds like those are patterned after the Deraisa. Is it the total called Almana Al Sheimane? Is it going to be called
Mane?
Yeah. It's going to be a Mane.
It's a good Taina. I don't know. But that's the din. That's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah.
How much money do we say in today's time to
have to have? The 50 shkolim is peanuts. It's hardly anything. But in our ksuba was worked out in the days of the Maharil. We add on much more. So we say, how much is it, right? Let's say 50 shkolim. Pidyon HaBen is 5 shkolim. So the whole ganze ksuba is 10 times Pidyon HaBen. How much do people give for Pidyon HaBen? So Pidyon HaBen, strictly speaking, is supposed to give 96 grams of pure silver. So silver happens to be very high now. So it's something like $100. Years ago, if a person would give $25, that would be daiva hoisa for Pidyon HaBen. Now the Pidyon HaBen, the din is, strictly speaking, is supposed to give 96 grams of pure silver. And then the poskim say the minhag is that you give 100 grams. You round it up. Some poskim should be 101 grams. But mikra din, we hold 96 grams. You round it out to 100. So Pidyon HaBen is there now. It's something that you got to find out. Keeps on fluctuating. Keeps on going higher. So it's something like $100. So the whole ksuba, the 50 shkolim, is 10 times Pidyon HaBen. So 10 times 100 will be $1,000. $1,000 is not enough to live for 1 week. The ksuba is supposed to keep the girl going after I divorce my wife, or after I die, she should have enough money to live for a year, and in the course of the year she'll find herself another shidduch. How can she live for a year on $1,000? You can live for a week if you fast Monday and Thursday and you invite yourself out for Shabbos. So you can live a week on $1,000. How can you live for a whole year $1,000? So our practice is that we add on Tosefes, Ksuba, and Adunya. And the Tosefes is way more than the whole Ika Ksuba. So and the Tosefes, Vosuv Lobin Delay, Meir Zukuk and Kesef Tzorov. The Tosefes Ksuba is written in German coins. Polish points. Okay. So these are coins in the days of the from the days of the Maharil, which are worth way more than all of the shkolim. So today, in Shulchan Aruch, they tell you what the value is. So today, it's something like $100,000. The ksuba of a psula, something like $100,000, and the ksuba of an almana will be 1/16. Instead of saying 1/2, that's the normal way it would have been 1/2, like the other Rishonim said. So there are more paskins like this opinion. That is 1/16.
Is that the Tosefis is also 1/16?
No, the Tosefis with the Nedunya together is equal to everything.
But the Tosefis is never Doreis. It's not Stach Doreis.
I think you're right. That the 1/16, that's only on the Ikar Ksuba. This is an old coin, so this doesn't fluctuate. You're right, yeah. So it's irrelevant. The fact that it's 1/16 is irrelevant today, because we write Sachakom, Asayim, Zukuk, and Kesef, so we ignore the whole Ikek Ksuba, because it's peanuts anyway. The $1,000 is nothing. So by Yastak, it's $100,000 by a Psula, and it's $50,000 by an Almona. That's right. That doesn't fluctuate, he's right. The Tosefes within the Dunya does not fluctuate. Correct. We assess the value of all the property that she's bringing into the marriage, and in the days of the Maril, there used to be an exaggeration. They wrote way more than what the value was. Today, it's a lot of times way less than what the true value is. So that's why in Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanut keeps on updating the Ksuba. They don't write the Zukukin anymore, they write real money. And every 10 years, Rav Herzog started that when he was chief rabbi. And every 10 years or so, they change it because of inflation. So they write the real money, Israeli money, instead of writing zakukin.
So what if she brings in nothing?
The minig is you write an exaggerated amount, even if she brings in nothing. In the days of the Maril, she brought in nothing. All the Jews had nothing. They were poor. So they wrote an exaggerated amount.
Let's say like some colonic gets married, and you don't have $100,000, and you get divorced. Who has that price to pay, like Subo?
He has to pay when he earns some money. He has to pay. Not mechuyev to go to debtor's prison, but as soon as he earns some money.
Why isn't it asnachta?
Why isn't what an asnachta?
He doesn't have $100,000. Why isn't it asnachta
tonight? Asnachta means if a person obligated himself an amount of money a la tanai, and he thought that tanai is never going to happen, and it's a guzma. But over here, it's not such a guzma. The girl is going to need money to live. Once he divorces her, once he dies, she's going to need money to live. So it's not a guzma. This is in order to secure the almana or the grusha. We assume it's not a guzma. The Torah has, in the middle of the parashah, has the din of a moitzi shemra. A man accuses his wife of having an affair during erison. So if it's true, then she gets misa. And if it's not true, then the Torah says he is punished for having hired the Eidei Sheker. So there are three parts to the punishment. We spoke on Monday night about Kam Levi the Rab Minei. So the Torah has three parts to the punishment. He has to get Malkus, he has to pay Mea Kesef, and the third part is Velo Siyo Leisha. He's not allowed to divorce her. What do you mean not allowed to divorce her? What if she can't stand him? So then if they both agree, he can divorce her. So what do you mean he's not allowed to divorce her against her wishes? So this pasuk is the marker to the principle that the Gemara has all over Shas, that if a man gives his wife a get bal korcha, it's chal. How did the Tanaim know this? It says it all over Shas. If a man gives his wife a get bal korcha, the get is chal. Rabbi Gershon made a cherem. You're not allowed to give the get bal korcha. And then Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Tshuvas Aran. The Aran holds that it's an Issa deraisa. The cherem is added by the Rabbeinu Gershom. Whoever does it should drop dead. A cherem is a curse. The person should drop dead. But the Ran holds the Issa was always an Issa deraisa. It's been on a machaver. It's an avla. He married her and he promised to love, honor, and cherish her. And then he goes and he divorces her bal korcha. What kind of love, honor, and cherish is that? So the Ran holds an Issa deraisa. Most of the Paschim hold it's not an Issa deraisa. It's an Issa derabbanan. But how do you know that it's chal? How did the Tanaim know in Shas that it get bal korcha is chal? So the Achrayim say, based on this pasuk, it says that the oines, the ma'anes, the mefata doesn't have a din of v'lo yisei li'isha. Only ma'anes, shoyse batzitza, he's stuck, v'lo yisei li'isha. If she doesn't want him to give her a get, he's not allowed to give her a get. So you see that any other case, other than ma'anes, whenever you give a get, bal korcha of the isha, the get is chal. Only a din over here that he's not allowed to do it. So it's interesting, in the Sefer Afike Yam, the one who wrote that Afik Yam was also, there was a, before the Second World War, after the First World War, there was a group of big Talmid Chachamim in Poland who were businessmen. Some of them later were appointed Rabbanim and Dayanim, but for many years, like Menachem Zemba was in business for many years. His wife ran the hardware store. His wife took care of the business, but officially he was a businessman. He had no official position as a rabbi. Later in life he was appointed. Before he was killed by the Nazis, he was appointed a rabbi by the community. So this Sefer Afike Yam also, he was also a businessman. Later on, he was appointed a rav in a city, and he quotes, he had conversations with Rav Chaim Soloveitchik and with the Yosamech, with all of those contemporaries from the beginning of the 1900s. So he has an interesting suffix. We usually say Moide Biknas is Potter. What about over here? A man is Moide that he was Moitzi Shemra Alishtoi. So would you say Veloisi Elisho is a mitzvah or it's a knas? The Meir Kesef, if you're Moide Biknas, you don't pay. Moide Biknas is Pata. You don't get Malkas based on Haduas Atzma. What about Loi Seyeli Isha? Is that considered a mitzvah? It is a mitzvah. Is it a mitzvah Saseh? It's not a Knas. They say, no, it's part of the Knas. And Moide Biknas would be Pata. An interesting issue that he raises. Then the Torah describes the whole din of getting divorced. A man fell in love, he got married, then he falls out of love, he decides he wants to get divorced. So it says he has to write the get, but cost of law is safer krisus. So the Gemara understands cost of law lishma, the get has to be written lishma. How many other shtaras have to be written lishma? Aksuba doesn't have to be written lishma. They have, they had an article once in the New York Times about a non-Jew who does calligraphy. His expertise is he writes ksubas. A guy writes ksubas, ksav ashuris. So he showed the pictures of the beautiful ksubas that he does. So that's okay. A goy can write, you don't need ksiva lishma. A goy can't write lishma. A shtay mechir is chametz. Tanoim doesn't need lishma. So what needs lishma? A get needs lishma. Shtar kiddushin was a suffix in the Gemara. And Basa, Rava had a suffix. Basa de bayah, the pashta, and kiddushin, the first perik, came to the conclusion shtar kiddushin also needs lishma. There's one third, there's a third shtar, another shtar that needs ksiva lishma. That everybody agrees, that's in the first parak in Kitten, says, Shtar Shich Rebbe Knaini needs Ksiva Lishma. These are the only three stars that need Ksiva Lishma. A Get Isha, a Shtar Shich Rebbe Knaini, and a Shtar Kiddushin. What do they have in common as opposed to every other star? These are the three stars that make an effect in Issa the Heter. When you get married, the woman becomes an Eish Sish. When you get divorced, she becomes a Pnuya. And Shich Rebbe Knaini, the Rebbe Knaini is Potter from certain mitzvahs. Once you mishachar him, it's a whole different din. All the other shtaris are shtari mamon. These three make, it's mamon also, but these three have an effect in the area of Issa v'Heter. That seems to be the tzara shove that they all have. The nusach that we use for a get is a little strange. We write in the get that the girl now has the right to go marry anybody she wants. Why is it necessary to write that? And we write, and this document, is the get with which you get divorced. What do you have to write that for? Let's say I sell you a house. Let's imagine I own 24 Bennett. So I write, I hereby give you ownership of the building 24 Bennett, New York City, 10033. I give you the shtar. I have to write in the shtar, and this document should serve as the vehicle of the kinyan. I write. Bias ploini machalacha. What do you have to write in the get? And this piece of paper should serve as the get. Why is it necessary?
Francis goes on what Rabbi said last year, that there's two parts. There's the Hetzel Bala and the Isser to everyone else. So when the person gives is saying, we're not married anymore, so you're eliminating that Hetzel Bala. But you also have to eliminate the Isser to everyone else.
Yeah, but once I say Hariyat Mugureshes Mimeni, isn't it understood that she's allowed to marry anybody else? Why did they insist on writing that? So the Mishnah has a machlokes hatanayim. What if he didn't write V'deni Havilichi Minoy? Is it acceptable or not? So the Gemara says, what are they fighting about? They're fighting whether Yad She'ena Machiach is acceptable or not. Now, as they all agree, you're supposed to write V'deni Havilichi Minoy. All the Tanaim agree you have to write it. They just argue there's a klal, that a person takes a neder or a shvua, and the sentence that he said is incomplete. But based on what he said, you can figure out what the missing word is. Let's say you wrote a get, you wrote a shtar, whatever you wrote, you forgot to write shnas chameshes alof mishva meyos v'shivim ushtaim. You wrote shnas shva meyos v'shivim ushtaim in the year 772 after the creation of the world. So it's 5,000 years off. So Tosfos says it's self-understood, it's 5,000 years off. If it would be 1,000 years off, the paper would be yellow. If it's a piece of paper, that's white. Obviously, they forgot to write Chamesh Salof. So the Gemara says in the first parak in Avodah Zarah, whenever you have a document and the date is a little off, but it's understood what the missing word is, let's say it doesn't say Lebriya Zoylam. Everybody knows a Lebriya Zoylam. Everybody knows what you're counting to. So whatever is missing is self-understood. That's a din of yad. Whenever a person takes a neder or a shvua, and their word's missing in the sentence, but everybody understands what's missing, so it's considered as if, even though you need levate bisvasayim, a shvua and a neder is only binding if you pronounce it. So based on what he said, it's considered as if he said the whole sentence. The same is true on a shtar, whenever you write a shtar. The word's missing, so it's considered as if it's self-understood. So the Gemara says, the machloikas rabiuda nachachamim in the Mishnah and Gittin, daf pehei. If they didn't write V'deni Havilichim Minoy Sefer Truchen, this document, this piece of paper should serve as the get, they all agree you're supposed to write it. The machlokes is it so self-understood that it's considered like a yad as if he had written it? Well, it's not so self-understood. Maybe the husband thinks that this document is a raya, and the gerishin is just by saying goodbye and good luck, nice knowing you, and we're divorced. Maybe he thinks he's megarish balpeh, and the get is a raya, shtarai. Maybe he doesn't realize shtakin. So that's the machlokes hatanayim. If you didn't write V'deni, you're supposed to write V'deni Havilichim Minoy. If you didn't write it, is it sufficiently self-understood that it should be considered like a yad? So why do they all start off with the premise that it has to say V'deni Havilichim Minoy, and another shtar you don't need that? So there's a sefer HaChumash called Aderes Eliyahu, written by the Talmidim of the Vilna Goyen. They quote quoting things from the Vilna Gaon all the time. It wasn't written. The Gro himself didn't write it. The only thing he wrote was the comment, the Mar Mekoymus on the Shulchan Aruch, the Bi'ur Agra. Everything else in the Svarim on Kabbalah were written by the Gro. But all the other Svarim on Tanakh, everything was written by the Talmidim. So they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon the following fascinating din. The Mishnah has a Machlokes Hatanoim. The common practice today is you write a get on a thick piece of paper. You don't write on parchment. Years ago, they used to write on parchment. Then there was a period of time that the Jews couldn't afford it, so they wrote on paper. And then when they became wealthy again, so they said, we'd better not start writing back on parchment again. Because for 100 years they were writing on paper, they're going to go back and start writing on parchment. Someone may be ma'arer and say that all the get that were written on paper are no good. So there is manas out of practice, we always write the get on a piece of paper, not on parchment. So the Mishnah says, you can write a get on a piece of paper, on parchment, on a background, fine, whatever. What if you have a get on an animal? You write a get on a balchai, on a living animal. Or you write a get on a cake. Take icing. The icing on top of the cake. Hariat Magoresh is money. Here's your get. And he gives it a get. Is that good? So we paskin is good. Rabbi Yosef Glili says, no, you can't write ala oichlem and you can't write on balichai. Why can't you write Alochim HaBali Chaim? We don't pass like that. So Rabbi Yisrael Glili gets it from the word Sefer. Because of Allah, Sefer creases. Sefer usually means parchment. So the din is you don't have to write Dafkan parchment, but it has to be Dumya the Sefer, similar to parchment. What's not Dumya the Sefer? To the exclusion of Bali Chaim in Ochlin. That's not good. We don't pass like Rabbi Yisrael Glili. So what do we do with the word Sefer? Because of Allah, Sefer creases. This is in Chamishi, in Parshas Kisetze. So the Gemara says, if it would have been written because of Allah, Ba Sefer, the word Sefer would have meant write it on a piece of parchment. Because of Allah, Ba Sefer. It doesn't say Ba Sefer. It says Sefer Krisa. So Sefer Krisa means the Sfira's Dvarim Hudiyos. It goes on the text of the get. It doesn't go on the background on which you're writing the get. The parchment doesn't mean parchment. If it would have been written because of Allah, Ba Sefer, the word Sefer would have been parchment. But it, since it is because of Allah, Sefer Krisas means you should write a text of a get. So the question is, Pshita, you write a text of a get. What do you need a Xeris HaKos? What are you going to give a blank piece of paper? It doesn't say anything. Of course you have to have a text. So the Rishonim say, you see, from the word Sefer, you need Sfiras Dvarim Yisrael. A get has to have extra nusach, more than what you would have thought it needs. A normal person would have thought it has to say, Hare Megoresh Es Memeni, and goodbye and good luck. So the Pasuk says no. So the Vilna Gaon is quoted as having said, you have to read, the according to the Torah Shabbat Peh, you read the Pasuk, Kasala Sefer Krisis colon. The Pasuk Pshat and the Pasuk is, you read, Kasala Sefer Krisis comma. But also the other, you should give it. V'shilchem in Beisa, he says goodbye to her. V'yotzem in Beisa, v'hoch v'hoysel v'shacher, the story is, comma, the story is continuing. So according to the drush of the Torah Shabbat Peh, no, he put a colon here. Because of Allah Sefer Krisis colon, it should have the following extra wording in the text of the get. It should say Venasam Bayad, it should say, I am giving you the get. He says, Vidain di heavy lichiminoi, Sefer Truchin. Vishilcha Mibes, it should say in the get he's sending our way. And it should say in the get, Baholcha Bahaisali Ishachar. We have all of this in Aramaic. We have exactly the way it's described in the Chumash. That's the way it says in our Gittin in Aramaic. So the Vilna Gaon is quoted as having said, that's how the Torah Shabbat Peh interpreted the Pasuk. So the Chachili is supposed to write like that. This is what it should say. If you didn't write it, so that's a machlekes satanaim. Is it so sufficiently self-understood that it's considered kilo nichtav domi, midin yad? Oh no, it's a yad shena machiach, it's not that clear. But that's the premise of the whole Mishnah, it seems to be based on this Pasuk. That's what they quote from the Vilna Gaon. Pasuk says that a nation sish who is mezaneh deserves the death penalty. Umeisu gam shneihem. The boil with the isha both get the death penalty. Why does it say the word gam? Umeisu shneihem. What's necessary to say umeisu gam shneihem? So the Tanoim understood that it's coming to be marba something. So some Tanoim, you look at the end of the first parak in Erchin. Mishnah says if a woman is pregnant and she deserves a death penalty for some averish and chal shabbos avid avizar, whatever, so you kill her even though she's pregnant. So why not wait till she has the baby? What do you have to kill the baby for? The mesu gam shneim gam l'rabbis es havlat, unless she's already in labor, then the Mishnah says you wait. If the vlad is already nekalot says, so it's a gufa achrina, then you have to wait till the baby is born. But before that, not. That Gemara, the end of the first parak in Erechin, is one of the major sources for the halachic position on abortion. There's an important Ran on the Rif in Chulin, which the Poskim quote about the startling Chiddush about abortion based on that Gemara. So one drush in the Gemara is Meisu Gam Shneim Gam the Rabbi says Havlad, if he's Loinek Alotzis. Then the Gemara has another Tana, Rashi and Chumash quotes Gam the Rabbi Saboy Meacharein. What if the woman is Mizana a second time? She was Mizana the first time, she really became Asur Al Baila. Then she's Mizana a second time. The second time being Mizana didn't create the new Isa Labaila. She's already, the marriage is already ruined. So one might have thought perhaps that since the marriage is ruined already, it's like a Chotzi Shira of an Ishus. So maybe she's not Chayim Misa. That's what the Pasuk says. Gam the Rabbis HaBoy Me'achareim. If she's Mizana with a Boil Sheni, he's also, the Boil Sheni is also Chayim Misa, even though the Ishus was incomplete. So that we discussed a lot last year when we learned Yevamos, that there arise from the Gemara like that. That once an Eishes Ish is Mezana, the Ishes is considered partially broken. She doesn't have the full din of an Eishes Ish. Torah has so many dinim in Parshas Ki Tsa, it's a chock full of halachas. Let me close with this din. Torah has a dinim. If the soldiers are in the army, they have to be careful for Kedushas HaMachaneh, Ki Hashem Alakech Mesalech B'Kerach Machanech Lahatzilecho, Losu Sarvecho B'Yodecho. So we know there are dinim of erva, there are dinim of tzoa, dinim of meiraglaim. You're not allowed to say brachas, you're not allowed to learn, Keneged Erva, Keneged Tzah, Keneged Meraglam. Everything is based on the pasuk here by the army. Who's learning over here in the army? Who's davening? They're just waging the battle. So the Netziv has his original interpretation, but the Pashup Shat, leaving out the Netziv's Chiddush, the Pashup Shat and the Pasuk seems to imply that the Shechina is going to be there. Ki Hashem alakech ha-mesala b'kar machanecho. So when you have, the Yerushalmi says at the end of the first Perek in Erevin that these dinim only apply if it has a din of Machne Yisrael. You have to have a minimum number of soldiers on this base. How many soldiers do you need? So one opinion is 12,000 soldiers, like in Melchemes Midyan. If you have less than 12,000, it's not called Machne Yisrael. And the other Atanaim say much less than 12,000. Chazanish thinks that we accept it. It's very unclear. Chazanish thinks we accept the opinion 10 soldiers. Why 10 soldiers? Adav Shebikdusha. If you have Kol Be'asar Shechin Tesharia. So he says, just like if you have 10 Jews and they want to recite the Adav Shebikdusha, we assume Kol Be'asar Shechin Tesharia. The Shechin will be there. And it makes sense to say Adav Shebikdusha. So Kol Be'asar, if you have 10 soldiers who are roy to be mitzarf to a minion. If the guys are not Bikoris or something like that, so he's not mitzarf to a minion. If you have 10 Fruma soldiers who are mitzarf to a minion, so even if they're not going to say a Dovish Bigdusha, just the fact that they're fighting the Melchama, protecting the Jewish people, the Pasuk promises, Hashem lakech misalach bekarav machanech lahatzi lecha. So the Melchama itself has the status of a Dovish Bigdusha. The fact that there are 10 soldiers in the army close to each other, if you have 5 soldiers on over here, 5 soldiers over there, they're not near each other, they're not mitzdarfim. So that's the question, how close do they have to be that they should be mitzvah? The Chazanish has a lot about that also. How close do they have to be?
Rabbi mentioned last year the case of where they were davening across the canal.
Yeah, 2 sides of the canal, yeah. Yeah, but the Melchemet Yom HaKippurim, so on Rosh Hashanah, they had half of the people on one side of the Suez Canal, half the people on the other side of the Suez Canal, the whether you're mitzvah to a minyan, 2 different locations far apart from each other. If the 10 people are in one room, so then Halacha says they're mitzdarfim. They're in 2 different rooms, says the Shulchan Aruch, not mitzdarfim. What if there are no rooms? What if they're on the open ground, but they're very far apart from each other? So there must be some shir. So the Chazanish has a chiddush. Comes up with a shir. Okay. Everyone is encouraged to plan ahead for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The davening here in Yeshiva is beautiful. They have very good Bali Tefillah.